The following podcast contains strong language and is not suitable for young children or workplace environments.
You're listening to FatCast. We've upped our game. Up yours.
Welcome to the FatCast. This is Matt Loader.
And I'm Josh Look. Coming at you from the Fat Cave, where we talk about games, movies, comics, whatever else we think is cool.
The segment we like to call Chewing the Fat.
Stuff. Today we're going to be talking about Ascending Empires, a couple of new Fantasy Flight expansions, Green Lantern, Lord of the Rings, some comic stuff, probably a few other things in there too.
So Josh, why don't you start us off with Ascending Empires? You've played that a lot more than I have.
Yeah, I think I've gotten in 10 games of Ascending Empires, and that's just in having it like in 2 weeks.
It just came out.
Yeah, I obviously think it's really awesome. The interesting thing about that game is like you think it's going to be this silly flicking game, you know, where you know it's just goofy, stupid fun. But I mean, like, there's some legitimate strategy in there. So, yeah, we've had a lot of fun with that. So you've played it a couple times too.
I've played it a number of times, only with you.
Right.
But yeah, it's awesome. You're in space. It's like a 4X technology tree having. Space exploration, empire building game.
Yep.
Where the main draw mechanic is that instead of moving your ships in hexes or squares or anything like that, you flick them. They're little wooden discs, and you flick them across the board, and you crash into planets and fight each other, and it's awesome because it's takes randomness. But puts a little skill into it, you know. I mean, a lot of skill.
There's nothing but skill in that game. I mean, it's two different types of skill at the same time.
I guess I'm terrible, so it works a little more chaotically for me. My ship wants to go there.
You're not great.
It works. Sometimes you're piloting your ship along.
Right. And, you got the wrong coordinates.
Chewbacca's fucking around playing chess in the background, and you're paying attention to him, and, you know, you overshoot the system a little bit. You find out you're inside a giant fucking worm planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. Not good.
You're in the middle of the Cylon fleet.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Battlestar Galactica in a minute. Right. Actually, we just talk about that right now really quick as an aside, because... much to the chagrin of nerds everywhere, I am finally watching Battlestar Galactica. I'm about to be finished with season 3. It's awesome. So if you, like me, had been putting off watching it, I always wanted to watch it, but get on that. Quick. It's good.
You're good farther stuff. Than me.
It's good stuff. Oh, Josh is also a late
beginning of season 3.
Wow.
But I've been at the beginning of season 3 for like 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, yeah. We've been ripping through them like we started like a week ago.
I love the show. I mean, there's no question about it. It's just that I'm lazy when it comes to being lazy. You know, like, oh, I could watch TV, but I think I'll not.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this finish that everyone is very divided over. So that I can shit-talk Battlestar Galactica, because so far I really like it. But, you know, it's more fun to be an asshole about things.
Right, you got to go with the crowd.
Yeah. But Ascending Empires, yeah, it's awesome.
It is.
It's great. The one concern that I have is Josh's copy has been played quite a bit, and it's all these interlocking tiles to make the board, and it seems like the edges are sort of starting to curl up a little bit. It's kind of, you know, since flicking is so important, if you don't have a perfectly flat surface,
it will kill the game.
It's definitely, I'm worried that the game's not going to have as much longevity as a physical product as it deserves. Because
right.
It's really fucking frustrating if you're about to flick and you kind of like nip an edge or something.
Edge and you're going flying and that sucks.
Yeah.
I really want to make a wooden board. And by make, I mean have someone else make one for me.
Yeah. Got a contract, Frank.
Yeah, Frank, I will pay you for your time and materials.
Mailing it would probably be kind of a...
I'll mail you, yeah. we'll hook something up.
But yeah, Ascending Empires.
Ascending Empires.
Zev put it out. It's awesome. Pick it up. It's not that expensive, right?
$30 or so. $30 or so. It doesn't seem to be getting a lot of attention, and it really does deserve it.
I think bring it over? I want to play.
I know. Like, I'll drive and do it.
I suggest you pick it up at one of our sponsors, insert name here.
Yep.
That it pays us a bunch so that we can suggest them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, keeping on the
space theme.
Let's jump into what do you want to jump into space? Oh,
we shards. Got the new Twilight Imperium expansion.
Yeah, it's so if you like Twilight Imperium, because you're not a fucking moron, you really owe it to yourself to pick up the Shards of the Throne expansion.
Like to see a fucking moron play Twilight Imperium, because I think that would be entertaining.
Oh, it's like non-aggressive dudes. You know, I don't like conflict. I'm not a fan of dice.
Right.
I really enjoy building a dress emporium and hoping to impress the prince. Most.
That sounds like some of Zev's games.
Those are my favorite. Yeah. Yeah. Zev. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
The two-sided coin that is Zev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, Shards of the Throne is excellent. A+. It is literally everything you could want in an expansion in that it adds a lot to the gameplay. Takes, you know, there's more of all the stuff that you want more of, like action cards, politics cards, secret objectives, all that kind of stuff. So there's more of that stuff, which is just always great. But it also, the new rules that it adds, by and large, are really easy to, A, pick and choose which ones you want to put in your game, and B, it takes like 2 seconds to explain. You know, there's new units, like the mech units and the flagships. It takes 2 seconds. Here, this is what it does. It's a little different. More stuff, though. It really adds. So it's without a lot of rules overhead, you are getting a huge bunch of new stuff to put into the game, new interesting ideas. I love the new races. All three of them are incredible. Yeah, the virus.
The virus is sick. That's the only new race that I've seen. I've only been able to play it once. But the virus was a total asshole. I, like a moron, got War Sons on turn one, which made me a big target for the virus.
Yeah, it was great having War Sons on turn one for the cost of sacrificing a carrier.
I'm glad I could oblige.
Yeah, it was really good. But yeah, like seriously, there's no excuse to not have this. It's awesome.
I think that it does a great job at establishing a better early game economy. Because there was a new there's like a new trade card, right?
And trade 3.
Yeah, trade 3 gets more trade goods in the game, you know, and early on everyone, you know, that's the thing with games like that is that everyone early on is just like, yeah, we're cool with each other. So you're going to trade with each other. Everyone's going to be friends and you're going to get those trade goods. And early in the game, that's going to speed things along, you know, to the meatier parts of the game faster. And it puts some more victory points in.
Yeah, cuz early game is awesome and important, you know, so I would never do that bullshit simulated early turns nonsense for babies.
Yeah.
However, there's no denying that the early turns are less exciting than later turns. So yeah, being able to ramp up a little quicker to go through that stuff is great. I don't like that it makes it a little harder to have any real consequences for attacking someone you have a trade agreement with, or breaking trade agreements, or this or that. I mean, you still have to have your trade agreements approved by whoever took trade, but you don't have that same thing where, oh, I'm not going to get to score my trade goods. Because basically the way it works is that now you get your trade goods after you've made trade agreements. So if I make an agreement with you at the beginning, I'm immediately going to get those goods. So I don't really give a fuck if I attack Josh and then we make a trade agreement after, because I'm still going to get those trade goods. I don't miss, like, you don't lose out on a trading cycle, which if you're, you know, you got 2-3 trades in front of you, that can be huge. So I think I'm not totally sold on that in the sense that it takes away a little element in exchange for ramping up the economy. I mean, I think overall the ramped up economy is worth it.
The thing that I'm not entirely sold on is the mercenaries, because they're definitely cool. Like, they do cool little bonus things that, like, when you read it, you're like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I can do this now. But it's like the game is like a lot of, you know, exceptions to the rules that you start with. You know, you're building your tech, so you get bonuses to things that you couldn't do before. And the mercenaries is just kind of like, it's one more thing that you have to remember. I know that when I was playing, like, I kept forgetting my mercenary can do that. And I was like, fuck, I just lost because I forgot to, you know, do this cool thing that my mercenary could do.
My problem, too, with helping to forget or make it more forgetful for me is it's a piece of cardboard. You know, the mercenary ships are a little cardboard kind of things. I mean, they look cool, but they're not little plastic dudes. So when I'm counting up all my plastic dudes, I'm like, this plastic dude attacks. All right, this dude. I go through my list, and I sometimes skip over the mercenary because I'm like, well, he's not a piece of plastic. He doesn't get to attack. And it's like, no, he does. He's right. A thing. They're really awesome, though.
They are.
But, yeah, again, I agree that
it's one more thing.
It's one more thing. It can be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Some people have been hating on the new politics stuff. You know, some people from Maryland that are idiots and shall remain nameless. But personally, I really like politics. I think politics is something that is not given enough focus in the game or in the base game. I think it's really cool that you have politics and the politics can really change the game, even despite the fact that I tend to get executed almost every game I play. it's really bullshit, but
says the guy who wins.
Yeah, well, I win a lot, so I mean, I guess it's, you know,
you're a target.
It's only fair, but you know, fuck you guys. I like it because it makes politics a lot more interesting. You have a lot more stuff going on. I mean, it definitely adds time to the game, which, if you're really concerned with the time, then you know, go play Hansa or something. I don't know, some bullshit spreadsheet children's game, Spreadsheet Junior.
I like politics.
Yeah, politics
because
is great.
Politics was the deal maker for me in Twilight Imperium when I first found it. Was the politics, you know? Like, that was a very cool, like, thematic thing. Like, oh, we're going to this council, you know, we're going to vote. That's awesome. You change the rules and everyone agrees on it, and that was just like the deal maker for me. So more of that in this expansion makes it even more worth it.
Well,
I
think
it really
sets off the metagaming aspect too.
Absolutely.
Of like arguing, because there's a lot of times you're playing an 8-player game, there's a lot of people who don't really give a shit about any particular vote, but there are some people on either side that care a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, that sort of trying to convince each other, cajole each other, you know, give people stuff, very I don't know, I really like that. I also
getting everyone involved, you know, like,
yeah,
in the turn is fantastic because, I mean, like, if you're playing an 8-player game, you know, there's going to be some downtime. So getting everyone involved on this this crucial decision is, I think, awesome.
Yeah.
So fuck Maryland. Politics rocks.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Let me just interrupt you guys for a second. You're popping.
So Engineer Al just gave me a little windscreen so that I don't pop my peas. So now I can say Peter Putnam plays poorly. He doesn't like politics. He's bullshit. Number one Kalis player in the world, but
yeah,
but not number one
Kalis.
Twilight Imperium player.
My little comment on BoardGameGeek of Kalis is, to the best of my ability, spelling out what vomiting sounds like. I'm not kidding. You could look it up. It's there. It's like, and it's like what I do when I legitimately vomit. Like, I'll say, like, oh no, not again, not again, not again. And then there's more.
but the provost? How do you even say that word?
I don't
know.
Give a fuck. Fuck everything about that.
What is a provost? Does anyone even know?
I don't give a shit. It's boring.
Is he like an administrator?
I don't care.
Is he like a civil servant?
Who cares? It doesn't matter. None of this matters.
But yeah, Shards of the Throne. Pick it up. It's awesome.
Do it.
If you're not into Twilight Imperium, fuck you.
Yep.
It's great. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome game. Awesome expansion. Let's jump right into Horned Rat, I think.
While we're on awesome expansions.
Fantasy Flight, fucking nailing it. Proving once again why they are the company to beat, publisher to beat. They might crap out some terrible games once in a while.
They lost me for a while,
but
this summer they are
fucking A. They are
absolutely.
They're killing it here.
Yeah. So Horned Rat, the new expansion for Chaos in the Old World, basically takes a game that I'm pretty sure both of us like called it our best game, or like that was my pick for the best game of, what was it, 2009?
That was my game of the year. 2009 was Chaos in the Old World.
Yeah.
I wrote a glowing review at the time. It's an incredible game. It's still awesome.
Absolutely.
And Horned Rat manages to
make it better.
Do something that I really didn't think possible. You know, like Twilight Imperium, I think people had been calling for expansions of some of the stuff that's in there, you know, sort of obvious things. Some of the new stuff is like, makes, you know, you read it on paper, you're like, yeah, another expansion from Twilight Imperium. Like, this is clearly a system
right.
that it makes sense to have expansion for. Chaos in the Old World, like, it was so well-balanced and such a tight yeah. game and so just...
It was one of those rare games. Like, a lot of times Fantasy Flight in particular puts out a game and you play it and you say, that was a good game, but an expansion is going to make it a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaos in the Old World was a huge exception to that. Like, Chaos in the Old World, I thought, was damn near perfect out of the gate. And you don't see that anymore.
Yeah.
So when I saw that they're putting out an expansion, I was kind of, like, freaking out about it. I mean, like, you know, it's like... This game, like, the balance is so tight and so finely tuned in Chaos in the Old World. It was like, you're going to throw in another player and new cards and change everything, you
yeah,
know?
It's
and they
incredible.
Somehow managed to make it even better than it was before.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I totally was like, how the fuck are they going to do this? Like, how are they not going to fuck this game up by trying to shoehorn a bunch of new bullshit into it? And it plays... It makes the game... the same game, but almost completely new in terms of strategy and what you have to think about and what you're bringing to the table.
Right.
So in a way, again, it's like one of those perfect sort of expansions because it takes a game that you love and doesn't really fuck up any of the stuff that you like about it, but sets it up in such a way that there's some new stuff to try out and it makes you see the game in a whole new light. You know, same
right.
rule set, but you can kind of approach things differently. Like the idea that Korn is going to win on victory points is insane. Like, that's not who
yeah.
the fuck would think that works.
Yep.
But it,
he can
it
now.
Does now. Yeah.
It's I don't think it's not his primary, you know, mode of winning, but I mean, now he actually has a legitimate shot in it.
You got to watch out for it now. It's a thing to
exactly.
think about. You can go that way.
Yeah.
You don't as Korn, you don't have to worry completely about just chasing everybody down, like, just gotta murder people, that's all I can do. I mean, which is great, because, you know, like...
You're Korn.
Korn, you gotta murder the fuck out of people.
That's right.
And you get VP now for murdering the fuck out of people, which is, I think, what makes it great. So you retain
that
the
reward,
flavor.
Yeah. That reward for behaving in the manner in which your Chaos God is supposed to behave.
Exactly.
It makes everyone more multidimensional. I mean, Nurgle gets dial ticks... You know, like, it's his fucking job now, you know? I mean, like, he's got, the, like, those ridiculous cards where it's like, okay, immediately get a dial advancement and
yeah.
resolve it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
In mid-turn.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
The rat is a motherfucker, plays perfectly.
Love the rat.
Skaven just bursting up from everywhere and fouling up your beautiful cities.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Slaanesh rocks.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone is still really awesome. Sineech... Or Sneech. Is still a ton of fun to play. He, like, does all sorts of crazy stuff, like, makes, like, any one region adjacent to all other regions, which is really great when there's someone in the lead who, you know, depends upon dial advancement, or not dial advancement, but victory points, you know, and, like, they're about to ruin a region. Basically, Sneech can, like, open up the door and say, Korn, no matter where you are, why don't you pop in here and have some fun?
Yeah, it's an impressive feat to really ramp up the fuck you-itude of some of those, everyone, because that game is really a game of fuck you, no, fuck you too, which is, I mean, great, and it really ramps that up to, like, a whole new level of just brutal cutthroat dickery.
Yeah.
Which, in and of itself, is the epitome of how you would imagine the Chaos Gods are going to behave.
That behavior's why I play games.
Yeah, well, that too.
You know, so, I mean, it's pretty much perfect.
Well, I mean, I am the Prince of Pleasure, so...
Yeah.
The purple Prince
of
Pleasure.
So, there are a couple of concerns, though, that I think we need to get out there. And it could just be that we haven't played it enough, but... I think I've played it 4 or 5 times now, and I think out of those 4 or 5 games,
that.
I probably played
it. Because we played
that.
It together like 5 times.
We played
times.
It 3 times within 24 hours.
It's that good.
It is that good. But Nurgle has won a good chunk of those games, and it might just be that, you know, that's the nature of Nurgle. That was the nature of Nurgle before. He starts off really slow, and then end game, he is this tremendous force. You know, he's if nobody's been paying attention to him, he's uncontrollable. And I think that still applies, but because everyone's behaving in the same fashion, it might just be that, you know, you know, it doesn't seem that Nurgle's as much of a threat, but he's just as much, if not more.
Yeah, I think it's similar to the... I think we're going to see the same kind of trajectory that when it first came out, people complaining about this guy or that guy being overpowered.
Right.
And, oh, this guy's unbeatable. We figured this out. Oh, you know. And it just... I think it cycles. And it's... Nurgle is one of the more obvious strategies, you know, just...
Yeah.
Put out a bunch of dudes and corrupt the fuck out of things. Like, that's really what you're doing with him. It's pretty straightforward. The same way that Khorne... early on was like, I just murder people, okay, you know, but then people started figuring out how to counter those things and really play the more intricate races like Sneetch races, you know, gods, you know, Sneetch is complicated to play really well because so much of it relies on knowing what other people are doing and playing your cards appropriately and timing things. And, you know, I think that people are going to go through the same kind of trajectory of like, how the fuck can you beat Nurgle? Well, this is how. And well, how the fuck can you beat Skaven? Like, I think they all have that, like...
Same way you always do.
Yeah. I think they can get that ball rolling.
For some reason, we're not really paying attention to that yet.
Yeah. I think once you get that ball rolling on any of the races... Races. Why do I keep saying races?
They're gods. Races. Well, is the Skaven a god?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think he's like some lesser god. Isn't he?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm not really... Yeah. I like the Warhammer, but I've not read, like, novels or anything.
I like having spare money, which is why I didn't get into Warhammer.
It's true. It's true. I also am terrible at painting.
That, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, two expansions from Fantasy Flight that just came out.
Both of them kick so much ass.
If you don't have those base games, or someone you know doesn't have those base games, like...
There's no reason to
kick yourself in the balls.
Yeah.
Or Lady Junk. You know, one way or the other, because we are an equal opportunity fuck you podcast that says fuck you ladies, fuck you dudes, get into Twilight Imperium and Chaos in the Old World, pick up the new expansions, be about it. Good stuff.
Right on.
Tell me about the Green Lantern while we're insulting things.
Oh, Lord. Green Lantern. Now, I'm a big Green Lantern fan. Like, I have my list of, like, favorite comic book superheroes, and Batman is sitting right on top of that list, but Green Lantern is probably right behind him. So, this Green Lantern movie, I was always under the impression that they weren't going to be able to pull it off, because it's a huge, sprawling sci-fi, you know, space opera, on top of being a superhero movie, or a superhero story. And it's just jam-packed with a lot of the kind of stuff that studios tend to avoid, you know? I mean, like, if you look at superhero movies before Iron Man and then after Iron Man, they've gotten much more okay with putting in the weird stuff or following the comics, you know, more faithfully. So I was always kind of nervous of the Green Lantern movie, and I had reason to be, because it is a giant shit sandwich. When Ryan Reynolds is the best part of your movie, you got a serious problem.
He's very charming. He's such a scamp.
Yeah, I think he's a fucking douche. It's as simple as that. So, yeah, basically all that cool stuff that I was stoked to see that you see in the trailer and, like, you're like, oh my god, they put Kilowog in and Tomari and all these other cool characters, they amount to nothing.
Who's the Green Lantern that looks like a dog? Like a space dog.
Oh, man.
I had that guy's trading card when I was
I think
kid.
His name is Gnort.
Gnort, that is right. That's
yeah,
right.
I think it's Gnort right. or Gnort. I don't know how to pronounce it. But, yeah. I mean, all this...
Was he in it?
I don't recall seeing Gnort.
That's a bummer.
I don't know. Like, after the first... I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes or so, because, like, when you first start watching it, they're like, oh, yeah, shit, yeah, they did this. And then, like, when you start to see that all that cool stuff that you wanted to see is not in there, yeah, that's a bummer, to the point where I just kind of, like, shut down. It was like, this can't end fast enough.
I think it's also one of those movies where, I mean, I've only seen the trailer,
mm-hmm.
but I think superhero movies have a very fine line between looking like the comics, you know, maintaining authenticity to what's on the printed page visually,
right. Yeah.
and looking completely fucking stupid,
right.
You know, when translated to real people on a movie.
Yeah.
So this one, like, watching the trailer, like, some of the other Lanterns, I don't know all their names, you know, but big-headed alien leader motherfucker dude, like...
Sinestro.
Looks stupid as shit. Like, he just looks ridiculous.
The most ridiculous character is, and like, I even thought, like, wow, you guys are going to kill this, you know, by putting Hector Hammond in. The comparison I keep hearing is that he looks like a mutated testicle, which is accurate. And he does look like a mutated testicle with the personality of John Malkovich.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's in there and he is completely fucking useless. He amounts to nothing. There was no need to put him in there other than to have him be a vehicle for Parallax. And yeah, I'm spoiling the shit out of the movie, and I don't care. Because you probably, you shouldn't waste your money on it, because it's, you know, fucking terrible. He amounts to nothing. Parallax is like a huge cloud, which, you know, sucked when they did that with Galactus. So I don't know why they, you know, chose to repeat those sins. I mean, it wasn't DC who did it, but I mean, I thought that we learned a valuable lesson with Galactus. But I really don't want to talk about Green Lantern anymore.
Yeah, I think we devoted enough time to
it
that.
It blows.
Let's talk about an excellent movie, or I'm going to talk about an excellent movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like the 10-year anniversary of Lord of the Rings, the movies coming out. And so they, every Tuesday, they started a couple days ago. Yeah, no, I feel fucking old.
10 years?
I'm not even old, but yeah, I remember being so excited to go see them.
Yeah.
10 years, 2001 was when, you know,
Fellowship came out.
And so they're showing all three of them, extended editions, totally remastered, the three Tuesdays in a row. So the went and saw Fellowship a few days ago, and then the next 2 weeks we got tickets to go see the next two. And fuck, they're amazing. Like, it reminds me just how good they are. And, you know, I try to only watch them all at once together, which makes it sort of a hard thing to do with regularity. So it's been a couple years since I've watched it, and seeing it on the big screen again is just incredible.
And the extended editions,
too. Yeah, the extended editions.
The extended editions are the way to go.
I don't even remember what's extended and not, because I think I only saw, I mean, it's been 10 years, really, since I've seen non-extended Fellowship, and I saw it a couple times in the theaters when it came out, and then since Extended came out, I've only ever watched Extended, so I kind of forget what is and isn't, but it's still perfect.
Two Towers is my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think it's just because
there's cool, like, that, I think that's where the coolest stuff is. Like, I don't know, I just dig Ents.
The Ents are cool. I don't even look at them as three separate movies, really. I mean, I look at it as one sprawling masterpiece of
pretty
cinema.
Much. Yeah.
But it's great, and it makes more modern, you know, movies that have come subsequently look shittier in comparison, because while there have been good movies, you know, don't get me wrong, this is the epitome, I think, of nerdy fantasy cinema. Can't go wrong. It still looks great, too, the effects and everything.
Yeah.
It's,
Gollum, you know, still holds up. Yeah, I mean, Gollum's not in Fellowship, is he?
He's in it a little bit, but yeah, I mean, he holds up. I mean, he doesn't look like, I mean, he looks the way he looks, you know, but it's not distracting or busted. It's not like fucking Scooby-Doo in real life.
Or it's not like Green Lantern.
This fucking Smurfs movie or whatever. Yeah. How about that Smurfs movie? I want to go see that, because it looks like it's going to be the biggest train wreck ever.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Who greenlights this shit? Like, really? Like, let's do a live-action Smurfs where they're
movie.
Like where they're like rapping.
Like, I really?
Thought, yeah, they like
that's
well,
what
in
they're
the
doing.
Trailer.
I haven't paid any attention.
In the trailer,
to
they're like I don't know. It's like, yeah, maybe I'm just making it up that they're rapping. I seem to recall that they're rapping. I think because maybe it's just in my brain, like all of the worst cheesy missteps that you can do that they're doing. You know, they're trying to make them all funky, like funky Smurfs. They're gonna rock.
They
like,
gotta be hit for the kids, man.
Yeah,
like
are kids
the
idiots
new kids.
Now?
Yes.
Are kids morons?
I think so.
Because when we were kids, we had cool shit. Like,
if you have a kid, your kid's probably an idiot. So we're both, we've both been reading some solid comic books right now, or recently. The one thing that I need to express is how friggin' awesome the current run on Detective Comics is. I've been out of DC since Bruce Wayne died, or didn't die, or whatever. Because I thought that was lame, and it still is lame. And yeah, Dick Grayson is still Batman. But Detective Comics at the moment is like pumping out just quality writing in that detective, I mean, like legitimate detective style storytelling that you want to see out of Detective Comics. Here's Batman solving these crimes that, like, the clues are there, you're trying to figure it out, you're interested, and it's twists and turns nonstop. This writer, Scott Snyder, I think his name is. Yeah, Scott Snyder picked up the book with 871, and I think they're on, like, 877 right now. So if you have even a remote interest in Batman, track down those issues, because I think I'm willing to say that if he keeps going down this path of quality, this is one that I think that we're going to be talking about for a long time. And when Batman has as many quality stories as he already does, I don't make that recommendation lightly. So yeah, Detective totally rocks. It's the best superhero book on the shelf right now, as far as I'm concerned. So
we'll stick with comics, though, and I'm going to talk about Walking Dead for a hot minute.
Yeah,
basically, I mean, if you have read any of Walking Dead, catch up, because it's great. It's staying great. I'm really impressed. It's been going on for a while. I mean, they're on. I don't know the current issue number off the top of my head, but
they got to be up by the hundreds now.
It's close to 100. I mean, it's got to be in like the 80s, yeah. Something, 80s, 90s, something like that. And it's consistently awesome. There's definitely been, if you break it down to single issues, there have been single issues that were a little bit less exciting or less perfect or whatever. But overall, the story is just incredible. And I mean, what I do like about it is, you know, without trying to sound like too much of a pretentious asshole, it's really telling an interesting story that has nothing to do with zombies. It's really about how fucking terrible human beings are. And zombies are just sort of the catalyst for people being really shitty.
That's always the thing with zombies. I mean, that's what makes a great zombie story.
Yeah, exactly. All the best zombie movies are not about zombies. They're about consumerism and racism and all that
kind
of shit.
Humans really shitty side.
Yeah, exactly. And Walking Dead is, I think I'm comfortable saying that Walking Dead is my favorite piece of zombie-related media. It's that good.
I might be willing to back that up. I mean,
it's fucking incredible.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead is, for me, really up there, because that was when I, you know, got really into zombies on a whole and just, like, got what good zombie storytelling is all about. But Walking Dead, for just being the sprawling epic that it is, yeah, I think I'm going to have to back that up.
Yeah, Walking Dead. So get on that. I finally caught up. I mean, I'd read, I read the trade paperbacks that collect, you know, 8 issues at a time. But I'm currently caught up and looking really forward to, I think it's collection 13 or 14 that's coming out in next month, I want to say, next week. It's very soon. So
very soon.
Very excited about that. And if you haven't dipped into Walking Dead and you have any interest in comics or stories about humans being shitty, and interesting stuff, like, get into it.
Who doesn't love that?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That does it for comics that I'm reading. I've been reading some. Oh, you know what I did read actually recently that was pretty good?
Yeah.
That segues beautifully into what we're talking about next. The Dragon Age comic that Orson Scott Card wrote.
Really? I didn't even know that.
I don't know who the fuck did the artwork for it, but Orson Scott Card wrote it, and, you know, despite his being kind of out of his fucking mind when it comes to, you know, everything that doesn't have to do with science fiction and fantasy writing, he still writes a mean ass story, and good for him for that. So it's good. It's Dragon Age-y. I'm not going to save it forever. I'm happy I read it.
Yeah.
If you're into the world that Dragon Age exists in, it's worth reading. It's, you know, it's definitely good, but it's not, my mind is not blown.
Yeah.
It's good though.
So anyways,
Dragon Age. We've been playing Dragon Age, both of us.
Yeah, I'm playing the first one. I've never made it all the way through, and I'm telling myself this is the time that I do it. So I came to the realization that, rogues and mages are cool because they get to do more stuff, and, you know, there's actual tactics involved in controlling them. But you get down to the heart of the matter, and I just like to kill shit. So two-handed warrior it is. So I've been enjoying the fuck out of that.
Yeah, and I'm almost done with Dragon Age 2. I mean, I say almost done. Who the fuck knows? I mean, I've got a lot of hours into it, and it's great. I think the overarching story is a little bit less compelling than the first one. I mean, you could tell that this one came out in a much tighter time window, but mechanically, it's light years ahead. I mean, I'm playing on the console, playing on 360. It's much more interesting to fight dudes. The first Dragon Age to me, I loved it. It was great, but the combat really felt like, oh, this is some bullshit that I have to do before I can continue progressing the story. Whereas now combat has some interesting stuff. It's a little more real time. It feels a little more, I think they took a page from the Mass Effect playbook, and that it's the same kind of thing, same huge, great story, interesting stuff, RPG character building elements, but made combat a little bit more of a, you know, modern video game sensibility to it.
And that's the thing. I'm playing the first one on my PC, which is very different from the console one. So when you play it on the PC, you kind of get this different vibe, I think, than people who play it on console, because as a PC gamer, you know, I'm familiar with BioWare's history, which is, you know, Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights and stuff like that. And that's what the combat to me feels like, which is not modern, but I appreciate that they, I mean, it's like, it's so long as what made Dragon Age great is still there, then I'm all for the change. And I think that a lot of people were not okay with that.
But yeah. Speaking of really old PC role-playing games, just a quick nod to, I hopped back into Temple of Elemental Evil. Got it on the good old games, you know, it was like $5 or something ridiculously cheap. And man, that's a mean fucking game.
Yeah.
It's great. There's a couple things that stand out as being, how the fuck did we not fix this earlier? Like towns, exploring towns. It's boring as shit. No one wants to spend 45 minutes walking around in a fucking empty house.
That's not real playtime.
And yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
However, the game is great overall, but it's mean. So you have a dude that gets knocked unconscious in your party, and there's enemies around, and you die at negative 10 hit points. You know, like, die, like, not
right,
coming back.
Right.
And in this game, it's mean as fuck. You're not coming back. Like, you roll a new character at level 1 to fill that slot in your party. And you're unconscious. You're not a threat anymore. These motherfuckers will turn around, and another dude is standing next to them, like, trying to stab them, hitting them, doing damage. They'll turn around and spend their entire turn murdering the shit out of your unconscious dude.
The guy that is no longer a threat.
Yeah.
They're like, fucker needs to die.
The game goes out of its way to fuck you. Like, just, it's
like,
mean.
They're insulted by the fact that you would fall unconscious.
Yeah.
Like, during our combat.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roll another dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mean as fuck, but it's good. It's definitely worth dipping back into if you're into that kind of thing and you missed it the first time around. I think it holds up as still an enjoyable experience. You probably won't finish it. Definitely check out. There's like some mod tool set for it that somebody did. That's Circle of 8 or Circle of 9 or some shit. And it sets it all off really nice. It's great stuff.
Most of Troika's games seem to have that fan community. Because actually the one that I've actually been going back to on and off again is Arcanum, which is a steampunk fantasy sort of game. And yeah, it's pretty fucking brutal too. But yeah, they've got the fan community that actually finished the game where Troika could not.
Yeah.
And I know that Temple of Elemental Evil has that same thing.
It's worth
bringing the game up to that point.
Yeah. And so. it's definitely worth, you know, the $5 or whatever the fuck it is on the internet now. Definitely good stuff. It's time for news. Wizards of the Coast's board game, releases in general.
Yeah, they fucking suck.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they don't.
No. those of you that don't know, I'm a big fan of Castle Ravenloft.
Ditto.
If you're not, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I think I've thoroughly established that.
Yeah, we all know.
Wrath of Ashardalon was great.
It's even better.
Yeah, definitely better. I'm also really looking forward to
Drizzt.
I don't know. I don't have to say a stupid name.
Whatever.
I read one of those books a long time ago, and R.A. Salvatore, you are no Dragonlance, which is really saying something.
That's saying a lot.
It's really saying something that you're the lowbrow Dragonlance. but, you know, like, deal with it. Dragonlance I can still go back to and read and be like, yeah, Dragonlance, you're cheesy and basic, but you're fun.
Yeah.
Dritz, no.
Dritz, like, sorry. Overly descriptive on the combat.
Dude. Yeah. Sorry, dude, you're the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But two big things. Conquest of Narrath, however the fuck you want to say it.
Yep.
Fun D&D word. Is coming out really soon. I haven't played it yet, but looks...
I think it's out.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Well,
looks really interesting. It's a more traditional dudes on a map action,
yep.
But seems to have some interesting stuff going on with the, you have some leaders that go on little quests and you can get some magic items and you're just trying to, you know, get VP by conquering dudes and murdering each other and controlling territories. Looks good. Lots of cool minis. But then also, Dungeon of Dread, it was just announced, and that is a, cooperative game where you're, you know, all co-op going in to a dungeon trying to, you know, do typical dungeon ass stuff. It's supposed to, it's sort of positioned supposedly between, you know, a little bit less complicated than Ravenloft, a little more streamlined, which is interesting.
I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm,
the cooperative, market is getting extremely crowded. And like Ravenloft and Ashardalin are pretty streamlined to begin with.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested to see how they pull this off. Because, I mean, like, I enjoy Ravenloft and Ashardalin. And, you know, anything D&D kind of sparks my interest.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, I think that's the bigger thing that I wanted to, I guess, just touch on is that these two announcements, two games coming out.
Right.
That typically probably wouldn't... really pique my interest that hard if it was somebody else doing it. Or, I mean, if Fantasy Flight or Zev putting it out, I would probably still check it out. But, you know, like if the AEG was doing it, I probably wouldn't pay that much attention to it until...
Ouch.
Well, I mean, you know, like, I don't mean to shit on AEG. They've done some good stuff, but, I mean, they're just... They're not a... they're hit or miss, you know? Like, I would definitely be... You know, oh, this looks cool, but let me hear some stuff.
I didn't grow up on Legend of Five Rings.
Yeah, exactly. Let me play somebody else's copy. Let me hear from a number of people. You know, I'll check it out at like WBC or something. Whereas the way Wizards has been going lately, I mean, they've been just nailing it. Like their board game stuff has been fabulous. So.
Absolutely. The that's an interesting thing is that Wizards of the Coast is kind of in this place that I wish Games Workshop would return to. I really like, you know, trying to bridge that gap between one type of game and another type of game, because they actually very rarely cross over. I mean, like, if I'm hanging out at, like, my local game store and, like, there's some miniature gamers that come in, they really don't care about, you know, what I'm playing. You know, they're just, like, looking at miniatures games. And, I mean, that was a huge part of Games Workshop setup, though, was bridging that gap. So
and they put out some classic stuff during
that
era.
They absolutely did. Yeah.
And I agree. So, it's really cool that Wizards is
kudos
taking
to Wizards.
taking their brands that rule, putting good people to work doing this stuff. Like, I mean, you know, they got really compelling design work getting done. You know, I think that they I also like that they're not putting out a ton of stuff. They're just kind of doing a handful of releases.
Yep.
Sort of. So they seem to be keeping a tight lid on quality control, only putting out stuff that's really impressive and that they really like. But I think it's also good marketing because it just gets people excited about, you know, the D&D brand. And you know, you're like, oh, you know, I really like Ravenloft. Let me check out D&D. Or, you know,
right.
Gets you excited about it. So Wizards, looking forward to
playing both of these. I totally bought some D&D stuff after Ravenloft.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I had been out of it. But, I mean, I had already gotten interested in D&D and Ravenloft certainly had me going out and buying some new D&D books, so it works.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a time where we talk about 4th edition and why you're an idiot if you can't get down with that either. We can argue about it, but let's not do that now.
That might be fun.
Yeah, we'll do that some other time.
Yeah.
If you, the fans, request it, we can do that for you. So we listen to people. What else we got?
Listen to them and then tell them that they're fucking idiots.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's great. I can't wait till we've been on long enough that we start getting emails.
Right.
And we can have listener comments and such. That'll be good.
We can tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Anytime where I get to tell someone, go fuck yourself.
So, Elder Sign.
Elder Sign. Where did this game come from?
No idea. Well, I know where it came from. It came from the
genius.
The beautiful town of Atlanta, Georgia.
Or somewhere around Atlanta.
Yeah, not actually in Atlanta, because Atlanta's one of those bullshit towns where everyone says, oh, I live in Atlanta. Yeah. No, you actually live like fucking 45 minutes from actual Atlanta.
You live in Buford.
Yeah, Buford. What was, isn't there like cunts or something? No, what is it?
Cumming.
Cumming, yeah.
Cumming.
That was bad. Cunts.
That was bad.
Well, whatever. I live in Cunts, Georgia. That's where Frank lives.
Frank lives.
not Frank Branham. Frank Skeletor.
Skeletor
lives.
Frank.
Yeah,
that's where Skeletor lives. I think Frank lives in New Zealand.
They call them like territories or some shit, right?
Some
territories
like that.
Down there. He's in Australia, right? They got territories or zones or some.
It's like they're still mapping that shit.
Some
out.
Third world shit over there, like not states or countries. So I think Frank lives in Cunts, Australia. Is his location?
Yeah.
So, big shout out to the people of Cunts. Thanks for listening, guys. Really appreciate it.
I think a whole lot of people just shut it off. So that's what kind of party this is going to be. I'm out. So, yeah, Elder Sign by Richard Launius. I know it's a co-op game, but
I know I'm going to get it.
Yeah, with Richard's name on it. You know, that's enough.
Straight aces.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing more about that.
Yeah.
But definitely, if you haven't heard about it, now you have. So
check it out.
Be about it.
What else we got going on?
Well, we could talk about. You want to talk about Bellflower?
Bellflower. That's just a quick little thing. I saw this trailer this week for a movie coming out. I think in August. It's called Bellflower. It's been, I guess, circulating the indie circuit a little bit. And it definitely looks like that kind of artsy, you know, indie movie, but it's post-apocalyptic. It looks like, you know, this weird, you know, dude meets girl story, only this is a guy that likes to do some, you know, like Mad Max shit. Like, you know, toy around with his car and, like, make flamethrowers and stuff. So it looks really cool in a weird, artsy, you know, romantic movie kind of way. So if you're into any of those things, I would definitely give it a look.
I mean, there's nothing I like better than, you know, fucking in the back of a Trans Am going 200 miles an hour trying to crash into an oil tanker.
Yeah, filled with sand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like it when you know, dude runs his fingers through my mohawk. It's nice. Sweet.
Gets real pissed when that guy dies. It's real pissed.
What else we got? We got some bigger things here to talk about.
Yeah,
some bigger stuff. Well, let's talk about Wii U.
Yeah, the Wii U. I'm pretty sure that most people want to be, you know, poo poo on the Wii U, but that's not direction I'm going in. Actually, the Wii is the only console that I own, and I'm okay with that. It does what I want it to, you know. I mean, like, I grew up on Nintendo's games. I want that style of game, you know. That's how I define console gaming. So the Wii U looks like an extension of that, and I'm all for it. The controller looks really cool. It looks like you could do some really interesting shit on there. I think board gaming, like, I thought, you know, this might be cool with, like, some board game.
I think if anyone played Crystal Chronicles, the original one,
right,
for GameCube,
yeah,
with the you hooked up your Game Boy Advances to it, and you had your own little menu screen, but the whole, you know, you controlled with your Game Boy Advance,
right.
Anybody that played that is excited about Wii U, because
right.
Crystal Chronicles was, if you had four people and you were really making moves, it was fucking great. It was awesome.
The I mean, like, so far we haven't seen anything like definite about it, like, what does it do? But I mean, aside from the Zelda thing, where, like, the new Zelda game, your inventory is going to be, like, can be displayed on the controller, which is useless.
Well,
but
who thought that the original Wii was going to be a stupid bullshit kids toy? I mean, some people still think that, but there are some fucking great games. Like,
yeah,
there's not as many, you know, quote-unquote AAA core gamer games. But, you know, fuck you guys. Like,
yeah.
Have fun once
have
in a while.
Fun.
Like,
yeah.
You don't
no,
have
Nintendo,
to be cool all
yeah.
the time.
Not everything needs to be, you know, about a, you know, scruffy-looking dude that just, you know, shoots people. Not all landscapes. The landscapes need to be, you know, barren.
Yeah, it was worth $200 to play Wii Sports with my mom. Yeah. Like as much as we've played it. It's a fun
time. There are serious games on it, too.
If you don't like fun, well, fuck you anyway. Yeah. I'm saying fuck you to a lot of people.
That's okay, though.
I guess that's my vibe.
That's
if you don't like that vibe, then fuck you, too. But, yeah, I mean, it's if you want to be too cool for school, like, I have to admit, I'm not, like, I'm excited, like, trepidatiously excited. Like, it could be cool. Like, you know, I'm not like, holy shit, I fucking, I can't believe it. But... You know, Nintendo has never failed to put out at least a few games with every console, every fucking weird thing they did, except for maybe Virtual Boy, which just kind of hurt my neck. But other than that, like, everything they've done has had first-party titles that were compelling enough to make me happy that I owned that console.
Right.
So I think this is no exception. Yeah, are we going to see Call of Duty... Six, like, you know,
well, apparently you
bullshit,
are.
Whatever, like, who, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that's not
that's
what
not
I
what
wanted.
I sign up for on a Nintendo machine.
Who the fuck cares? I'm going to play goofy games with Mario, like, tap dancing with a snake. And it's going to be fucking incredible.
I think that the Wii has more solid games on it than people give it credit for.
Exclusives, absolutely.
I mean, they have more good exclusives than anybody else.
And you're never going to... And those are exclusives that you're never going to get anywhere else. Like,
yeah.
You know, Bungie will jump ship from Xbox and put out games somewhere else. You know, they're second-party developers or however the fuck you categorize that, you know, whatever. But Nintendo, you're never going to see Nintendo games not on whatever new Nintendo console is out. And Nintendo games... Yeah, there have been some shitty Nintendo games... that Nintendo did, but by and large...
I think most of them have been awesome.
Awesome.
And the Wii ones are no exception.
Yeah.
Zelda's awesome. Metroid Prime 3 is awesome.
Corruption.
Mario Galaxy is just
Galaxy 1 and 2,
amazing.
Great games.
Love those games. I think that the new Smash Brothers, the one on Wii, is the best.
Even just stupid shit like fucking Wii Sports or Wii Sports Resorts.
Exactly.
That shit is
There's
fun.
There's nothing wrong
it's
with that.
It's about fun. Like, that's, you know...
That's
I'm not
why
playing...
you play video games, is for fun, not like... You know,
I don't need to prove that I'm like the quickest thumb wrangler in the West or whatever. Like, I shot that dude so quick. I'm the coolest. Like, no, I mean, I don't care. Like, it's fun to have fun.
Yeah.
And Nintendo is always fun. And a Pikmin. Who's not excited about a new Pikmin game?
Right.
Like, fuck you if you're not into Pikmin. Like, yep. that's how it goes.
Just putting it out there.
That's how it goes.
Yep. Do you mean Pokemon?
No. Pokemon's
cool. Pokemon is cool.
It's different from Pikmin.
Yeah, Pikmin is like it's like these little plant flower dudes,
right?
And you're like a spaceman, and you got to pick them up and like
have them
build
do
your
shit
spaceship.
For you.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool. Yeah. It's weird. It sounds really fucking stupid. I agree. But
it is a little stupid.
It's really compelling.
But it's awesome.
Yeah. It's very compelling.
Yeah, compelling is a good word.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard to stop.
You never hear that compelling.
Compelling. That's because there's not a lot of compelling games out there.
I was being sarcastic. You hear compelling all the time.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Like, if there's anything wrong with the game, it's just it just wasn't compelling enough.
Yeah.
You know,
It's a broad word, I guess.
Yeah. What else?
DC. Let's talk about DC.
DC.
Because we said we were going to talk about DC again.
Because this gets nerds mad.
Yeah.
And so DC's resetting the entire universe. Like, and I'm not talking about just in the numbering, because, like, you see that shit all the time. Like,
yeah, well,
Marvel...
Uncanny X-Men's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, like if it's the week after... If it's the week after last week, then your comic is probably being reset in the number category. And then if it's, you know, 2 weeks after that, it's probably going back to its original numbering. But DC apparently is, like, legitimately resetting the numbers, the continuity, everything.
I think it's legit. Some of these characters have been around for fucking ever, but they have compelling stories that people want to tell.
Right.
I mean, the same thing. Some of the best stories for the iconic superheroes, be it DC, Marvel, whatever, are all out of continuity, like one-off special miniseries kind of things. You know, I mean, Dark Knight Returns. what the fuck is that in terms of, you know, regular Batman continuity?
This offshoot weird thing.
Yeah. So there's really interesting stories to tell with these characters that, unfortunately,
in the
hypercritical
continuity,
nerds
right.
will say, well, actually, Mary Jane was, you know, went to this middle school, so you're in fact full of shit. Like, no, settle down. Settle down, guy. Settle down. Like, and I think that if you're getting all butthurt about it, like, no one's taking away the old comics. Like, yeah. Are you really that excited about whatever new, you know, series is going on? That the direction, oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing it. They can still do that shit if it's interesting. But now they don't have to worry about, you know, 60 years, 80 years of, you know.
DC's continuity in particular is very hard to unravel and wrap your head around. It's not like, I mean, like, X-Men is kind of comparable to it. Like, X-Men's continuity is a fucking mess.
It's nonsense.
It's bullshit. DC, it's like, okay, we have a multiverse. What the fuck is a multiverse? That's another question. And then we don't have a multiverse. Then we do have a multiverse. You know, so I think that it's kind of necessary to get the new readers on. There's a couple of little aspects I'm thrilled about. You know, Bruce Wayne's going to be Batman again. I can jump back into Green Lantern because I kind of put that down for a little while because they just kept publishing the same story over and over again. So that's kind of cool. And as long as Barbara Gordon is still in a wheelchair, I'm cool with it.
Well, I think too, I'm not as big of a DC fan and I'm not super up on what shit has gone down. But, you know, they definitely suffer from what I like to call the X-Men problem, where you have all these heroes who get ramped up in terms of intensity and power and all this stuff to a point where it's not fucking, how are you going to tell an interesting story? Like, you know, it's like Superman. Like,
yeah.
You know, how do you tell interesting stories with Superman anymore when he can fucking do anything he wants and all the time? He's, you know, you can only come up with so many kryptonite based like stories, you know? I mean, there's only so many things you can do. Once you've reached a certain point with
Superman is best as like those weird kind of one-off stories. Like,
yeah,
like you were
whatever
talking
happened
about
to the Man of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that Red Sun, I think is like the best Superman story, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be upset if DC was like, you know what, fuck the whole universe, fuck continuity, we're just going to only do one-offs, kind of, or not one issue, but, you know, like self-contained storylines for the rest of these characters, you know? I don't think I don't need another 20-year, you know, fucking Green Lantern arc. Like, tell a story that's good,
yeah,
that's in this universe, that maybe has some, like, slight differences or whatever, this and that. And then when you're done telling that story, like, cool, you're done telling that story. You can, you know, use that same universe. It's seeing different people, you know, do different takes on familiar characters, familiar tropes, familiar ideas. You know?
Right, without bumping into years upon years upon years of continuity, you know, it opens things up. DC, you know, is by and large, I think, a little bit better on the whole retcon than Marvel is. I mean, like, it seems like Marvel goes to a retcon pretty frequently, whereas, you know, there were some things that stuck for a long time in the DC universe. Hal Jordan was dead for a long time. Same thing with Barry Allen. He was dead for a very long time. And, you know, like I said, Barbara Gordon's still in a wheelchair, which, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it doesn't undo the Killing Joke, I'm okay with it. It all comes down to the Killing Joke.
Yeah, so DC, you know what? Nerds, settle down. Wait till you see what's happening before you shit on it. I mean,
right.
Half of them are probably going to be terrible anyway, but
that's
going to have nothing to do with
that
continuity
just, they
change.
They were probably terrible before.
Yeah, yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. So, do we want to talk about Trash Fest?
Of course
that's
do.
The other,
of course you do.
That's the big,
this is,
it's a big thing. We're still kind of, I'm still coming off of that.
I'm
that
finally
awesome
sobering
experience.
Up.
Yeah.
No, I didn't really even drink that much.
No, you were pretty good.
For my typical behavior at these sorts of events, I was
expecting a longer version of ConCon.
Mm. It was still adventurous.
Yeah.
It was good. So, for those that don't know, Trash Fest South Part 2 was hosted by the illustrious Stephen
Avery.
I go to sleep in tank tops, Avery. And Richard Linnaeus. I mangled his last name.
You did.
I'm sorry, Richard.
Yeah.
But, you know, the two
He's
of them.
He's giving you the disapproving dad look right now.
I feel like he does that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Richard, but he definitely is he's an adult that is questionably comfortable with my shenanigans. And that's what they are, shenanigans.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they put this thing together. Steve sort of really put together. Richard did a lot of the hosting and on the ground organization.
Yep.
But it was fucking awesome.
Basically, absolutely.
A bunch of awesome people came down to Atlanta. Atlanta, of all places, is a real hotbed of gaming.
Yeah.
There's a really good local scene.
A lot of dudes down there.
And
lots of good gaming.
A lot of good people.
We got a lot of the big heavy hitter kind of games in. You know, like we managed to play, like we said earlier, three games of Chaos in the Old World in like 24 hours.
Yep.
We did
I did
Game of Thrones.
Imperium.
You did Twilight Imperium.
Played some good stuff.
I played some goofy stuff, but played some awesome stuff, too.
I was surprised at how little goofy stuff I actually played. I was planning to play more goofy stuff, but I ended up playing a lot of, like, good...
Spin to Win.
We
played Spin to Win.
Yeah, Spin to Win is a classic. I want to get into Beyblades. I was looking at those. I was at Target the other day.
Beyblades was pretty sweet.
I was looking into that. It's kind of... It's not cheap to get into Beyblades. You got to buy the arena. It's, like, 25 bucks. Like...
Yeah, but... Yeah, I mean, that's.
I hope it goes on sale. I want to get it on sale. You know, because Beyblades.
Do they still make
it? Yeah, it was at Target.
Really?
Yeah, it was like there. There you go.
Huge with the kids.
Yeah, they had
huge with the kids, huh?
Quite a section. Quite a section of Beyblades.
Beyblade.
For those of you that don't know, it's like Battle and Tops. Which, if you don't know what Battle and Tops is, just
fuck you,
fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah. So you don't like Battling Tops.
You hate fun.
Yeah, right. You are a fun murdering dickhole.
Yeah, exactly. And Spin to Win is like bootleg Battling Tops.
But arguably better because
like
no string. So you get the zip cord.
Better. Yeah, you get a zip cord rather than a string pull. And the zip cord's a little more robust than the string. And when you have adults playing a children's game, being more robust is better.
It's a good thing.
And one of those tops flew off and I think it chipped a tooth. Blasted me.
Yeah.
Got me good.
It did hit you in the face.
The Beyblades, yeah. That's what I'm worried about, the Beyblades.
Yeah. Cover your eyes.
So Beyblades are like Battling Tops, but you can like buy like custom parts and shit and like trick out your Beyblades to fight better or worse or whatever.
I want to make a shitty Beyblade top.
Yeah, well, you know, you're trying things out.
I was pretty shitty at Spin to Win, though.
Yeah, you were terrible.
I don't want to pick on Ken's brother.
Jeremy,
but... I don't think he got his top into the arena once.
A couple times. It was really me and Ken battling it out over Josh's corpse a lot, is kind of what happened. His dead little top would be in the middle, and then me and Ken would be fighting around him, and Josh would trip one of us for the finish there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ken, you know, the illustrious Ken, he's back.
He is
back.
For
those of you that don't know.
He still loves to cock.
He does. It's good. We had we got some directions from Steve Avery to go somewhere, flipping through the pages, and just, you know, nonchalantly put into the directions he handed out to everybody a picture of Ken that says Ken loves to cock. And, you know, just in the directions.
He always, like, Ken followed us too over to Will Kenyon's house, and we would throw that up every time we stop.
Yeah.
Ken was still behind us. Throw it up.
It was good.
Put it up. Put it in the window. He flipped us off. But he was cool about it.
I bought some tank tops.
Yeah, the tank top.
Down at the Kmart.
Yep.
It's a big hit. I liked
it. Kmart was less trashy than I had hoped.
I was really disappointed. I thought it was going to be real hillbilly, bullshit, craziness.
Because I know the Kmart in my area is worse than the Walmart, I think.
Yeah, it was
I mean, there are some genuine mutants shopping at that Kmart.
This place was not bad at all.
I am like Will Smith and I Am Legend when I go in there. I'm the last man alive and I'm surrounded by mutants.
Yeah, Kmart was disappointingly middle class.
Yeah, yeah. Very clean, well-kempt.
Yeah, like...
You still got gasped at.
Well, yeah. I got gasped at a few times. I got gasped at a few... I gave a few bitches the vapors.
Yeah, the vapors.
I was lighting it up.
Yeah.
I definitely did. Some old ladies gasped at me. That was in South Carolina the first time that happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think I looked weird. I wasn't even, like, doing anything. I just walked into, somewhere.
Yeah.
And this lady gasped. I think she was taken aback by my Apollo-like looks.
There could be only one Apollo.
Yeah.
You're the Apollo of the North.
I'm Apollo of the North, and according to Steve Avery, Rob Martin is the Apollo of Atlanta.
Yeah, with his sleek...
He looks sleek like a horse.
Sleek like a horse. And his...
Golden locks or
deliciously
something.
Deliciously golden locks. Pretty sure he's got a crush on him.
Yeah.
I think an interesting story that we should tell, because nobody else was with us except for B-Styles, which was it's still hanging around. On the way back, we stopped at a Wendy's in Maryland before we dropped B-Styles off at his car at Malik's house. So there's this little lady taking everyone's orders. She's kind of weird, but whatever.
She's
nice, but you know, still kind of
odd
atmosphere to her. And these kids come in who, quite obviously by their appearance and mannerisms,
they look like they crawled out of a Hot Topic circa 1995.
Something like that. Yeah, they were a bit out of time.
The long hairs,
the tie-dye shirts. It was pretty obvious what they were into. And they show up and they're like, "Is James working today?" And the lady behind the counter says, "No, I'm sorry, James isn't here today." And then someone else in the back, like, pokes their head out. And they're like, "Are you guys looking for James?" And they're like, "Yeah." And this lady in the back's like, "We don't have anyone named James who works here." And the kids are immediately like, "Charles. No, we mean Charles. Yeah, Charles." And then that lady, for like a little bit of a pause, there's a little delay, and she says, "Charles works in the back." And they're like, "Where in the back?" She's like, "Behind the building."
Yeah, I don't think he worked for Wendy's.
No. We were sitting there watching this. Yeah, we actually drove around the back of the Wendy's looking for a dude working in the back behind the building. There was no one there.
Yeah.
So Charles. I mean, James.
If you're looking for
that's a big difference.
I think if you're looking, I think if you're looking to score, you got to go check out the Wendy's near Mike's house somewhere in Maryland, and ask for Charles. He's in the back.
He's in the back,
and he will hook you the fuck up. A dude went back there and seemed satisfied.
Like, came back in and bought some food.
Yeah, a lot of food.
A lot of food is right,
but all off the dollar menu.
Yeah. He was short on cash.
Yeah, but we looked for Charles. We couldn't find him.
Couldn't find him.
It was a dumpster. Maybe he was hanging out in there, but I don't think he was pulling some, like, Oscar the Grouch
drug
dealer shit.
He's like some drug dealing Oscar the Grouch, in Maryland.
Yeah, well, you played Ascending Empires with
a dude. In my little area, my little circle of gamers, we don't have people like
Eugene
from the comics on the fort. I thought, you know, that's just the character. That guy's not real. No, he's real. I played Ascending Empires with him. And, like, Ascending Empires, there's a little bit of a phase where you're supposed to, you know, explore and build your tech. And, yeah, he explored. He didn't build tech. He was just like, "Oh, I'm just building cities and I'm building colonies, and that's all there is to it." He's minding his own business. But, like, when it comes time, you know, when the shit gets real and you're supposed to fight each other, he was not willing to do that, and we called him out on it, and he was like, "That just doesn't seem worth my time. I'm not really an aggressive gamer, and it's stressing me out. Like, I'm getting stressed playing this." And so I was like, "All right, you know what? Fuck you. I'm gonna attack your shit. I'm gonna draw you into the fight, whether you like it or not." And he still wouldn't fight. He would just, like, go and, like, get his ships into my planets and blockade them so that I couldn't do anything with them. And by the time the game ended, we realized, holy shit, by him doing that, he was probably, like, the biggest dick at the table. Yeah, and then he badmouthed Cosmic Encounter.
He right-fucked you.
And Chaos in the Old World. And defended Kalis.
Yeah. But no, Trash Fest was awesome. Everybody was great. Big ups to Steve and Richard for putting it together, making it happen. Trash Fest was good.
Amazing. We'll be back next year, I think.
Yeah. So that does it for the Dick Flip and Space Castle Brigade. Same time next week. Same channel? No, what the fuck do they say? Same time, same channel? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, that was about what they said.
It's a podcast.
It's not on time.
Yeah, that's
it's when you fucking download it.
That's right. Let's go talk to Shelly.
You've been listening to FatCast. You can find us on the web at FortressAT.com. BattleTech.com.
So you fuck dudes and you hate America.